in this audience probably attended the workshop on this weekend at TSU. You learned about creating a very impressive resume. You learned about salary negotiations. You learned about having a good evaluation. And once you land that good job, today I want to talk about how you manage your income. I've learned it's not how much you make, but it's how well you can manage. And I want you to understand that whatever you have, God can take what you have and do a lot more with it than what you can take what you have and do with it. Now, I know a lot of this is geared toward those of you who attended the workshop and for our young professionals, but also I want this to be a reminder of those of us who are considered senior saints, seasoned saints, those who have been on the battlefield for quite some time, those who can talk about how well God has blessed us along the way. And what I want you to be reminded of is that God's storehouse of blessings never run dry. And I've learned sometimes it helps to let the audience know where you're trying to go before you get there, so that you don't be confused along the way. And so the whole idea here this morning is to help us to be reminded, those of us who've been on the field for a while and those who are just getting on the field, how well God can bless what you have if you take care of him first. I know a few of you have come in since the scripture was read, and so I just want to take just a minute to reread the text from which we want to take our lesson. 2 Kings, the chapter is 4, and I want to launch from verse number 1. 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 1. And I'm reading from the New King James Translation. Mine reads like this. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditors is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." From the reading of these two verses, I want to speak from the subject, Lord, help me with my bills. Lord, help me with my bills. I don't know if any of you have been like me, where you had more month than you did money. You know, it's just the 10th or the 15th of the month, and you're already out of money. And you're not getting any more until the first of the next month. You got more month than you do money. Whenever you get in that situation, if you have done well with the Lord, that's when prayer comes in. I know they are trying to take prayer out of schools, but I'm convinced that as long as there are tests, there always will be prayers. There always will be prayers as long as there are tests. This scripture, it's in Matthew chapter 14, we find that Jesus took five fish, two barley loaves, and fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. Two fish, rather, and five barley loaves. Fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. Now, theoretically, that's about 20 to 25,000 people that were fed from one little sack lunch. But the key to it is they were given to Jesus first. When we go to the next chapter, we find that Jesus takes seven fish and a few loaves and he feeds 4,000 people. And in each case, we've got leftovers. The key to it is they gave it to Jesus first. When we look at this text, 2 Kings chapter 4. Well, just a little background. The book of 2 Kings continues a drama that began in 1 Kings. The tragic history of two nations on a collision course with captivity. The author systematically traces the reigning monarchs of Israel and Jordan. First, by carrying one nation's history forward, then by retracing the same period for the other nation. This first chapter of this book is a continuation of the last chapter of 1 Kings, describing the reign of Ahaziah and his eventual death. Chapter 2 opens up with a transition of authority from Elijah to Elisha. And very often we fail to recognize that these were two different prophets because their names are similarly spelt and the enunciation of them are similar as well. And so we fail to recognize that in 2 Kings we are dealing with Elisha. 1 Kings it was Elijah. And that transition has taken place. So as we look at our text, the prophets and sons of these prophets, they were not celibate. They had wives. They had children. They had obligations. And here we have one of the prophets who has died. He died in debt, and he left his wife and children with no money. He must have been a preacher in the Church of Christ. According to Old Testament law, a man in debt could voluntarily submit his children to work off his debt. This was according to the law. But here we have a man who didn't voluntarily submit his children to work off his debt, and the creditor would not relieve his debt. So now that he is dead, the creditor has come to the mother, the widow, to take her only two sons to pay for their daddy's debt. Lord, help me with my bills. I have no money. My husband has just died. My only source of survival is my two sons that he has left me. Now the creditor has come to take my sons away. A similar situation had happened earlier with Elijah. You remember the story when Elijah was put in what I call God's witness protection program. After he had done this bad foretelling to Jezebel. And God takes him to the Brook Cherith, and he's laying there by the Brook Cherith, drinking fresh water from the brook and having his meals airlifted to him on wings every day. Well, eventually the brook ran dry. And I want to just pause just for a moment to let you know that you don't have to pay for this. This is free. Just because you are a Christian, just because you come to worship every Lord's Day, just because you go to Bible class every Wednesday, just because you study your Bible and give to God as you prosper, does not exempt you from going through your troubles, your trials, and your tribulations. And so Elijah, the brook has dried up, and God tells him to go to Zarephath. And when you get to Zarephath, I have prepared a widow there to take care of you. Now, of all of the people in Zarephath, why in the world would God provide a, give a widow the responsibility of taking care of this man of God. Well, God wanted to bless her as well. And let me tell you, sometimes we go through our tribulations, it's not just for us, but sometimes it's for the people around us. And so Elijah goes in and he sees this lady out. She's gathering sticks and he calls to her and he asks her, if you would, give me a drink of water. And so as she's en route to get Elijah some water, he says, and also bring me some bread. And she pauses and she turns to Elijah and she says, as your God knows. Now, she's not. She's not one of the Jews, but he said, she says, as your God knows, I have just a little bit of oil and just a handful of meal, or depending on your translation, say may a handful of flour, and I'm about to make a cake, and my son and I are going to eat this and die, because that's all we have. Now, that cake that she was talking about, when I grew up in East Texas, we call it a hoe cake. Now, I'm going to get over somebody's head, but some of y'all ought to be old enough to remember this. My grandmother, she made the best biscuits. And I'm talking about made biscuits, not that pop and drop stuff. My grandmother could make some biscuits. And after she rolled it out, she would take a glass, turn that glass upside down, and she'd do a little, and make some perfect round biscuits. And after she had made all of the biscuits, the little dough that was left, she would put it together, and she would roll it out, and she would bake it. And we all wanted that, but that was a whole cake. And that was for Papa. But this lady was about to make that last little hoe cake. And Elijah tells her, he says, you've got a good plan, but take care of the man of God first. And if you take care of God first, God will take care of you. Now, I'm telling you this story so that you have the background for the story that we're going to talk about today. And if you remember that story, you know that every time that lady dipped flour out of her barrel, it kept on refilling. Every time she poured oil out of her jar, it kept on refilling. I want you to keep that in the back of your mind as we look at the story here in 2 Kings chapter 4. The Bible says, so Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all of your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. Now, sometimes God instructs us to do some things that we don't understand. Yes. But now, I'm not claiming to know all of the Bible. But from what I have read from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, I have never read where God said, I want you to understand me. I want you to understand what I'm doing. On the contrary, I read in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, to where God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts above your ways and your thoughts. In other words, God said, you don't have to understand me. All you have to do is trust and obey. Trust and obey. And this is the background for us as saints of God. We don't have to understand what he says. Just trust and obey him. Verse 4. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your son. Sometimes We need to do some stuff just between us and God. Joseph got in trouble because he was telling all his dreams to his brothers. Sometimes, church, you don't need to tell everything you know. There are certain things that you need to just keep between you and God. He goes on, he says, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. Now, she only has one jar, and he told her to go and borrow vessels. God has a storehouse. God has a storehouse. And his storehouse, it never runs dry. It never runs dry. I've been told that a picture is worth a thousand words. And I know everybody's been looking at my little picture I have up here. And I know it's a concern. And I'm not up here advocating the drinking from the one cup. That's not what this is about. If it were, the preacher going to have his first. I'm going to take my communion first. But that's not what this is about. I want to borrow your imagination. Your preacher went in the back with me, and he knows that this is nothing but water out of your faucet in the back. And if it's holy water, Fifth Ward has some holy water. But what I did, I put some food coloring in it. I put too much in it. I just wanted it to be a little green, but it got dark green. But this is just food coloring so that you can see it. All right? We've got a cup of water that's green. I don't know if you all can see it on that side. We'll put it up front up here. Now, I want to borrow your imagination. Suppose this is God's storehouse of blessings. I want you to look at this little picture as God's storehouse of blessings. This is what God has blessed you with. He has blessed you with out of his storehouse of blessings. But this is not all that he has blessed you with. But because you know that you should give to God first, when he blessed you, you put this on the side because it's Monday. And you're going to save this so that you can put it in on Sunday when you go to worship. On Tuesday, something went out. Your air conditioner went out in the summertime. And it is hot. It is up in those 90s. And you have no air. And so you call the AC repairman and he says, your unit is gone. We need to put a new unit in. About $7,000. And so you need the air. So you go on and have that done Tuesday evening. On your way to work Wednesday, transmission goes out. Now you need your car because without a car, you can't get back and forth to work. Metro doesn't run that line that you need to go to work. And so you need to put a transmission in your vehicle. That's about $4,000. On Wednesday, kids come in and they've got this project that they forgot to tell you about. And so now you've got to take care of that. And Thursday happened. Thursday, you've got to take that same child to the ER. And that takes some money. Friday comes in. You ever had one of those weeks? Did that seem like you were like Job while he was yet speaking? Another one came in and brought some more bad news and just news after news after news. Well, by the time Sunday gets here, you're down to nothing but what you set aside to give God. You've got a house note that has to be paid. And that house note is the same amount that you set aside for God. Here's where faith comes in. What do you do? Do you pay your house note or do you give to God and trust that God will take care of the house? A seasoned saint that has been through it before will say, I'm going to give it to God because I know what God can do for me. Now, I need a house note paid. What do I do? Lord, I've taken care of you. Can you take care of my house? God, being the God that he is, somehow he blesses you to get that house note back. Got that house note back. Now, we're in good shape. But I got a car note. Lord, I need a car note. Now, I know I've gotten back everything I've given you, but I got a car note that got to be paid. And Lord, you know, if I don't have a car, I can't go to work. God said, since you took care of me, I'm going to take care of you. Got a car note out of that blessing. And then you got insurance. Lord, I need a little bit more for my insurance. Well, since you took care of me, I'm going to take care of you. Here, take care of your insurance. Now, nowhere can you get... You can't get dividends like that nowhere. Nowhere other than with God. But now, you can't live off of just house note, car note, and insurance. You need some groceries. God says, since you took care of me, here's something for your groceries. I want to make sure that your grocery bill is met. And you know, kids need some clothes. Baby needs some shoes. God says, you took care of me. I'm God. My storehouse don't ever run dry. And it just keeps on going. Can you see what it means to take care of God first? Now, if you had taken this house note, remember this is a house note, and you tried to pay this and this, you could not have done it. Because all you would have done is did this, and everything else is empty. But because you're not God, God said, you got anything else? I'll take care of that too. Church, you can't get dividends like this anywhere else. You cannot do with what you have as well as God can do with what you have. But the concept is, I need to take care of God first. And if I take care of God first, whatever comes up, God will take care of me. And his storehouse never runs dry. I mean, whatever you need, God is there. And what I like about God is God blesses us with some of the most unlikely sources. Can I give y'all a personal testimony? And I don't mean to be bragging or anything, but I want to give you a personal testimony. I do a lot of talking about accounting and accounting procedures and how God blesses us and so forth. Some of it you learn in books. Some you learn through just going through some stuff. But I learned a lot of mine through just personal experience. Many, many, many years ago, my wife and I were in that same situation. I use this house note because my wife and I were in this very same situation. How are we going to pay the house note when so many other things have come up and we have made a commitment to what we were going to put in church? We agreed that we're going to take care of the church. We put our money in church that Sunday. That Tuesday, I got a letter with a check in it, $10 more than what I had just put in church. And guess where it came from? The IRS. From 7 years prior, they just caught up with it and sent it to me. And I just said, thank you, God. Because I knew it was nobody but God. Nobody. 7 years later, they find a mistake and send me a check. No warning, no, we got something coming to you. Just a check in the mail to take care of the house note with $10 left. God is awesome. God is awesome. But the thing is, you always, always have to take care of him first. And by faith, God will take care of you. You've got to have faith. And this is where our faith is tested. Do I take care of myself or do I take care of God? And let me tell you something, church. We say we don't worship idols, but we do. And the biggest idol that we worship is self. Do I take care of me or do I take care of God? Do I do what I want to do? Do I do what I like to do? Or do I do what God would have me to do? That's when we have to let our faith overrule. You know, you got that little man on one side that's saying, hey, you need to go through it. You need to get all of the gusto you can because you're only going through once in life. You need to do unto others before they do unto you. But then you got the other little small gentle voice saying, you need to do what God would have you to do. Yes. Church, faith is something that you have to go through some stuff sometime to gain faith. The more you go through, the more you ought to have faith in God. The more God brings you through, the more faith you ought to have in him. And I know y'all sitting up there wondering, is anything else in that cup? Let me tell you something. God's storehouses don't ever run out. I mean, they don't ever. Make sure I got it all this time. But he's just wonderful like that. He's just wonderful like that. And even if you had just something else that you needed, God would say, take care of it too. Because it ain't going to ever. This is God. It's all right, brother. It's God's storehouse. It don't run out. It never runs out. And you can keep putting cups up here, and as long as it's God, God will take care of you. But the key thing is we need to take care of him first. There are many scriptures in the Bible, many stories in the Bible. The story about Cain and Abel. The difference is not the one gave from the land and the other one gave from the animals. The difference is one gave the best and the other one gave of what he had. And when it comes to giving to God, we need to give God the best. We need to give God off the top. We need to set God up first and set him up with the understanding that I know. I'm not guessing, but I know if I take care of God, God will take care of me. He always, and his storehouse of blessings never run dry. That's my message for you this morning. I just pray that somebody got something out of this. And the whole idea is, it's not how much you make, but it's how you manage what you make. And the other concept is, you cannot do with what you have like God can do with what you have. If you give it to God and let him handle it, I'll tell you, you'll come out on top. You cannot get this kind of investment, return on your investment anywhere you go. There's no way that you're going to get. If this was $1,000, you could not invest $1,000 and get $2,000 just like that. Actually, this is going to be $3,000. You got your $1,000 back and $2,000 and $3,000. And because it's God, if that 1,000 were just 999 and see which one is that, he would just add some more to it. Because that's God. And his storehouse never, never, never runs out. It never runs out. Is that okay with you all? Is that okay? We never like to have an audience like this without giving somebody in the audience an opportunity to respond to the gospel call. I know many of you in here, most of you in here are already members of the body of Christ, and probably most of you are members here at Fifth Ward. But possibly there are some in here who are not yet members of the body of Christ. And I want you to understand that there is but one church in the Bible. There is but one church that God offers salvation in. And that is the body of Christ or the church of Christ. And I don't mean to say that to be offensive, but I say that because I've got to sleep tonight. And I want to have a clear conscience when I lay down to go to sleep. And God promises salvation in his body. Now, the question often comes up, well, preacher, do I have to be in the church of Christ in order to get blessings, physical blessings like this? The answer is no. You do not have to be in the church of Christ to get physical blessings. But I want you to know that Satan can give physical blessings. And a lot of times, Satan will give you physical blessings just to keep you in his army. But all spiritual blessings. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ Jesus. Well, does God give spiritual blessings? Yes, he does. He gives spiritual blessings, all spiritual blessings, and some physical blessings come from God. Well, how do I know whether my physical blessing came from God or came from Satan? The answer is easy. With God, there are no sorrows associated with his blessings. What does that mean, preacher? Well, that means if you got a promotion on your job, but you lost your family in the process, that didn't come from God. If you got a whole bunch of money in your pocket, a lot of bling bling around your neck, driving a long vehicle, but you got to look over your back to try to see who's going to take it, that didn't come from God. When God blesses us, there are no sorrows associated with his blessings. People are going to talk. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter if God bless you. All they can do is look and talk. There's nothing that they can do about it. And the whole idea this morning, church, I want you to surrender all to God. And if you are here this morning, you need to hear the gospel. Believe the same. Repent of your transgressions. Confess Jesus as being the Son of God. And be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And if you're not a Christian, just a baptized member in the body of Christ, if you're not one when you came in, please don't leave in that undone condition. We're going to give you an opportunity to surrender to the Savior's call right now while together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.
There's a fountain free. There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me, and let us haste, oh haste, to his spring. And 'tis a fountain of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. And will you come?